Let's ask God's blessing on this service. Lord, we're very grateful for your blessings that you have given to all of us, especially to your people. And Lord, especially we thank you for the blessings you gave to Evelyn. And we have come this day to thank you publicly and to worship you together and to express our gratitude for the grace that you gave to Evelyn even before you made the world. We rejoice in your goodness to her. And we ask, Lord, that as we go through this service, that everything will be done to exalt you, to magnify her Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we commit this, all of this service unto you for your glory. We ask these things in the name of the only Savior of sinners and for his sake. Amen. It is a blessed thing to be able to preach the funeral of those who love the Lord. But in some ways it's a difficult thing, especially when you got close to them and you love them so much. And I loved Evelyn. She loved me. Just such an honor to be her preacher. And thankful for all of you family members. And ask God's blessings on you. I asked Kathy if her mother had special verses that she liked and would want to have read. And she did. I'm going to begin with one of them, and I'll end with two or three more verses. But one of the verses that she loved so much is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which he strengtheneth me. Those words spoken, written by the Apostle Paul. He didn't just say, I can do all things. That would be arrogant. He didn't end the statement there. He wasn't like Nebuchadnezzar over in the book of Daniel, who he said, this is the great Babylon that I have built. I can do all things. No, that's not what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And in that context, he was talking about he had learned to be content in whatever state he was in, whether he was in poverty or prosperity. He was a very contented man. And he said, it's only by the Lord giving me grace and strength. And through the years that I've known Evelyn, I saw manifested in her the grace and the strength that God gave her. And he blessed her infinitely. And she was such a blessing to us, such a blessing to our congregation, as all of our folks here know. And, of course, the family knows as well her gift at arranging flowers. She always kept our church building adorned in such beautiful flowers. She had special flowers arranged for my office. Always enjoyed them. I'm waiting to get that back, by the way, the seasonal arrangement that she made for me. But she was just such a blessing to all of us. And she loved that verse of Scripture because she loved all the Word of God. And you know that. But that one especially meant quite a bit to her. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And even today, the Lord gives us strength to believe him, to rest in him, And even in this time of sorrow, he gives the strength and the grace to rest in him, even in a difficult time like this, because we have mixed emotions. We sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. And yet we rejoice. We rejoice that she's with the Savior and this her body, worn out, has been vacated. Her soul has gone back to the Lord who loved her and who gave himself for her. So we'll start off with that verse. And at the end of the message, the very last words that will be spoken will be another portion of Scripture that was so dear to her. We're going to sing a song that she loved quite a bit, Amazing Grace. If you need a songbook, it's 236. But we're going to remain seated and we'll sing Amazing Grace together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I had already days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. Evelyn Roberts Stevens was given life by her Savior on Thursday, November 8th, 1928, in Ashland, Kentucky. And at the age of 92, that same Lord that gave her earthly life called her home to be with Him. And now she has eternal life with her Savior. And that day she was called home was this past Thursday, April 15th, here in Ashland, Kentucky. God's Word says in Psalm 90, verse 10, The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Because it pleased God, he gave her 32 more years. Because the work he had planned for her was not over yet. Evelyn was the daughter of the late Eugene and May Roberts. Evelyn was preceded in death by her loving husband, your dad, quite a few years ago. She also suffered the loss of her sister, Peggy Inyart, a brother, Cecil Roberts, and a daughter, Connie. Evelyn was a longtime faithful member of this congregation here at 13th Street Baptist Church. And as our pastor mentioned, she made many beautiful flower arrangements for her brothers and sisters to enjoy here at church. I've worked over here a lot of years, and I can still see her bringing those in. I've even helped her carry quite a few of them in. And in fact, my wife and I have two of them in our home right this minute. She was an excellent cook and enjoyed making favorite meals for her family, her friends, and when there were social gatherings here in this congregation in the back, she also cooked some church meals for us. And they were delicious. In addition to all of the above activities, she was a small business owner of the Plaza Boutique, and she was past president of the Women's Auxiliary at King's Daughters Medical Center. Evelyn was always busy. She was a faithful fixture here during worship services, where she loved to hear the story about her Savior. And in a few minutes, our pastor is going to relate that story again, and you'll know what Evelyn loved and believed. You could always find her right there, very faithful. She sat there all the time when she was able to be in service. She is survived by her daughter Kathy Keelan and her husband Terry. And she loved to pamper and spoil her grandchildren, Chrissy Lalonde and her husband Adam, and her grandson Jesse Keelan. Next to loving and spoiling, the ones I just mentioned, along with an occasional chastening. And speaking of occasional chastenings, when her daughter Kathy was a junior at Paul Blazer High School, where I taught, she was in my 11th grade history class. And sometimes I had to continue that chastening. Not physical, but Kathy was a cheerleader, and you know cheerleaders love to talk. And that was the chastening. And Terry, you probably still do that today. No, he doesn't. No, chastening. But it was loving chastening, correction. She continued her spoiling talents to her two great-grandsons, Tyson and Colton Leland, and one great-granddaughter, Molly Keelan. She loved all of them equally and dearly. She also leaves behind nieces and nephews, of which she was extremely proud. And I bet she spoiled them also. She's going to be missed by us all. Her sorrows, trials, and her earthly infirmities are no more. In a short time, her pastor, Jim Bird, is going to stand here and proclaim the God that Evelyn loved because he so loved her first. And towards the end of her earthly life, she looked forward for the instance in time when she would see her Savior that she so loved to hear about when she was in the flesh. We rejoice for Evelyn. And let me finish by reading Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all the ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Trials are hard, and
That was your mom's favorite song. And she is experiencing what real glory is, because she looks on the face of the Lord Jesus. And oh, what a sight. She looks on his face not with fear, not afraid, but with joy. Like the song says, joy like a river. And she is delighted to be with the saints of God. And last Thursday, when God called her to be with him in heaven, she just was absent from this body, present with the Lord. And she just immediately began singing the song of the saints, and singing about blood redemption, singing about the salvation of God, and singing praises to the Lamb of God. Now the scripture says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. She is blessed. She's always been blessed. The scripture says of the people of God that we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And every blessing that God gave, has given to us and will yet give us, they were all given to us actually in the Lord Jesus before God made the world. And that included the great blessing of being with him and enjoying him forever. What are the saints of God doing in heaven? Ever think about that? How do they occupy their time, even though there is no such time, no such thing as time in heaven? But what do they do? What are they doing? How are they being occupied? Well, the scripture says they'll serve the Lord. And they worship. They worship the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Now, somebody said to me the other day, because I'd made a similar remark in one of my messages, they said, it seems like we'll get rather tired. Won't we get tired in heaven? I said, no, we won't get tired in heaven, because we'll have heavenly bodies, and so there won't be any weariness. And they said, no, I mean, you know, just being always in the presence of the Lord Jesus and always singing the songs of the saints and listening to him, will we grow weary of that? And I said, absolutely not. We won't grow weary. We'll just kind of sit on the end of our pews, as it were, and listen to him as he no doubt teaches us and breaks open for us the Word of God. I think about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they had doubted. They had lots of questions, and the Lord Jesus revealed himself to them, and then he began to open the Word of God to them, and they said among themselves, oh, how our hearts burned. Our hearts just burned as he spoke to us of the things of God. And that's the way it's going to be forever in heaven. And our dear sister Evelyn is with the Lord Jesus. She's singing praises of God. And she is listening to every word fall from his lips. She sang about him. She prayed to him. She talked to others about him. She came here and listened to preachers preach about him. Now she's with him. And that's glory. That's glory for her. I've selected just one little portion of scripture for you this morning. And it is a familiar scripture to those of you who are familiar with the Word of God. John chapter 14. As our Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples who were troubled, and they were troubled for three reasons. He had said, one of you is going to betray me. That's Judas. And Judas got up and walked out. So there are only 11 disciples left. And then he said, and one of you is going to, he's going to deny me. And that was Simon Peter. And that troubled them greatly. But mainly, those disciples were troubled because he said, I'm going away. And they understood what he meant. He was going to die. And this very thought of the death of the Lord Jesus, it troubled them right from the first moment that he mentioned it to them. It was right after, if you remember, I'm sure you do, many of you, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, our Savior said to his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, others say that you're one of the prophets. He said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father. And then right after that, then Simon Peter, listening to the Savior said, I'm going to Jerusalem. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must be killed. He must suffer these things in Jerusalem. He must die. And Simon Peter said, Lord, I want to talk to you for a minute. We don't want to hear you talk about death. No more talk about death. And, you know, our Lord said, now, Simon, get away from me. You don't savor the things of God. He said, I must die. And he had to. He had to die to save them and to save us from our sinfulness. And so that thought of his death troubled them. But death, it's troubling to all of us. When he says here in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be agitated. Don't be anxious. And I say to the family members and to these, the members of her spiritual family, don't be anxious about death. Don't be troubled about death. If the Lord Jesus is your hope of glory, there is no need to be troubled. Death will just take us like death took Evelyn in the very presence of the Savior. You remember the story, I'm sure, of Lazarus, who was a very poor man, but he knew the Lord, he knew the gospel, and he begged for something to eat. A rich man wouldn't give him anything to eat. And then the scripture says the rich man, he died, and he lifted up his eyes, and he was in hell. But Lazarus died, and angels of God took him to glory. And this is what happens at the moment of death for the people of God. Angels who were commissioned by God, they gather around the soul like they gathered around Evelyn. And they waited for the master to say, bring her home. And then he gave his nod to them. And immediately they escorted her soul right into the presence of glory. I know death is difficult for us. It's difficult for us to deal with. But if we're the people of God, if we understand salvation through the merits and the person of the Lord Jesus, really, really it's a time of happiness. Heard somebody say one time to a preacher, said, you know, preacher, we've got things backwards. He said, I don't even know what you're talking about. He said, well, when a little baby comes into the world, everybody's happy and joyful, and it's just a great celebration. Then when one of the Lord's people dies, we're all brokenhearted. He said, we got it just backwards. He said, really, when a baby comes into the world, in a way, He said, that's a time of sadness because look what they're facing. I think about my grandchildren, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, God willing. Boy, what a road they've got to walk in this awful world, vile world. You know, ungodly world. And there's a sense in which that's a sorrowful thing. But I'll tell you, when a child of God goes home to glory, that's time of joy. I'm so happy for your mom. I just am so happy for her. And we hurt. Oh my, we're going to miss her. There's no question about that. Very special person. But in a body that's wore out, I wouldn't want her back here. No, not in this body. When she's in the presence of the Lord Jesus, her Savior, who died for her, who redeemed her, why, she has no more sickness. She has no more pain. She has no more anxiety about anything. She's not worried about anything. She's enjoying the blessed, blessed presence of King Jesus. And I'm so happy for her. You got to be happy for her, even though you're sad for us. But he says, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God? You do, don't you? He said, well, believe in me. Believe I'm the Savior. Believe I'm the friend of sinners. Believe me, I came to redeem you. Believe me, though I'm going away, I'm coming back to you. But I've got to go away. I've got to die. The purpose of God must be fulfilled. This is the only way we can be saved. That's what he's telling these men. I've got to go. I've got to go. And in going to die, I'll prepare a place for you. You see, we don't have any place in heaven unless he goes to die for us. Unless he gives his life as a ransom for his people. We're all sinful people. We're lawbreakers. And the law of God says the soul that sinneth shall die. There's got to be death. The justice of God insists upon it. And the justice of God will settle for nothing less than death for sin. What kind of death you speaking about, preacher? Well, there's got to be physical death. But there's also got to be what the Scriptures talks about, the second death, whereby those who die in their sins must suffer the agonies of the wrath of God forever. But the Lord Jesus, her Savior, our Savior, he came into this world and he came to die. He came to pay the debt that he didn't owe, but that we owed. The debt to the justice of God, to satisfy God's law. And therefore he died under the wrath of God. He died that God might be just and the justifier of all who believe on Jesus. He died that God might be a just God and a Savior. That's why he died. He died to bring in everlasting righteousness. He died to justify his people. And when he died upon the cross of Calvary, there he hung suffering the wrath of God. He had all of his seed in view, all of his people in view, and that included Evelyn. I'd lay down my life for you. I'm dying for you. And because I die for you, you'll never die. You know, that's why the Savior, you know how he referred to physical death for his people? Falling asleep. Falling asleep. And her body has fallen asleep. Not her soul. There's no such thing as soul sleeping. Because at the moment that her soul left this body, it was immediately with the Lord Jesus. And this body, it will be buried at the cemetery here in a little bit. There to await a glorious resurrection. How do we know that the bodies of the dead in Christ are going to be raised again? Because he was raised. His resurrection, that's proof that this body right here, it's going to be raised again. Buried in corruption, but raised again in incorruption. Oh, mortality now, but when the Lord Jesus comes back, immortality. So he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be agitated. I've got to die. I've got to lay down my life for the sheep and then take it again. And then he talks about my Father's house. There are many mansions, many dwelling places in my Father's house. He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen to what he says. I will come again and receive you unto myself. In order that where I am, that's where you'll be. Now, when he says, I will come again, I know he's talking about one aspect of his, what he says here is he's coming again in the last day. And he'll receive all of his people unto himself. But really, he receives us one by one. He came for your dad, what, 10 years ago, something like that. He came. It's time to come home. And he went home. He went home. And then last Thursday morning, he came for Evelyn. Time to go home. Time to go to the Father's house. Just to think of the Father's house. Isn't that a precious thought? That's so sweet. I'm going to the Father's house. That's where she's gone. And she's there worshiping, like I said. And then one day, when the Savior comes back, she's come back with him. Your dad's come back with him. All of the saints of God have departed. They're all coming back with him. And then he's going to raise all their bodies. And their bodies, you see, they've been redeemed also. So they're going to have new bodies, glorified bodies, but it'll still be the same body, essentially. Evelyn will still be Evelyn. Ed will still be Ed. Brother Mahan will still be Brother Mahan. Go all the way down the line. And we'll be with him forever. There's nothing troubling about that, is there? To be with the Lord Jesus? He's coming back to receive us unto himself. Until then, he receives us one by one. Well, Jim, could you tell us the reason she's in glory, the reason she's in heaven? Oh, I can tell you exactly. Because God chose her unto salvation before the world began. She's a vessel of mercy. That's what she is, a vessel of mercy. God ordained that she'd be his child. Actually, she's always been his child. She's always had life in Christ Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, her Savior came into this world. And he lived for her. He died for her. He arose again for her. He suffered all the wrath of God for her. No condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus. He suffered, bled, and died for her. And then he arose again because of her justification. And he went home to heaven to be her mediator and to be her great high priest. She's in heaven because God chose her unto salvation. The Son of God paid her sin debt. She's in heaven because the Spirit of God dealt with her in saving, sovereign grace. You know what God did for Evelyn? He did for Evelyn exactly what God is doing for you this morning. He sent her a preacher. He sent her somebody to tell her the truth. And that's why God sent me this morning. To tell you the truth. About a holy God whose law you can't keep. about yourself, because you're a sinner just like I am. And about the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus, and the reason that He came into this world to shed His blood to satisfy God's justice. He's the only hope you've got, I'm telling you. There's no other life except the life which is in Christ. A little later in this portion of Scripture, one of the disciples said, "Well, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way." And the Lord Jesus said, "I'm the way. I'm the way to God. I'm the truth to God. I'm the life of God." And He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you all need to hear that. And those of you who are watching by way of the internet, there's no coming to God except through Christ Jesus. The Lord sent her a preacher. He preached that message to her. And a miracle happened. A wonderful, glorious miracle. She believed the gospel. She believed on Christ Jesus. And raised you under the sound of the gospel. And then God opened up your heart to embrace the truth. That's what the Lord did for Evelyn. He opened up her heart. He sent the Holy Spirit, who did a work of grace within her. And she believed this message. That's what's got to happen to all of us. God's got to send His Spirit. And the Spirit has to cause us to be born again, quickened from above. And then with that life comes faith to believe the Son of God. And one of these days, by His grace, those of us who've been saved by our Lord will go to be with Him in glory. So, well, will we know each other in heaven? Yeah, we will. We'll know each other in heaven. I'll know Evelyn. She'll know me. But it's a different relationship in heaven. He said, well, we'll talk about old times. We'll talk about the gospel. We'll talk about the greatness of God. We'll talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus. Evelyn, isn't He a wonderful Savior? You say, oh, yes, He is. How delightful to look on His face. Oh, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory. That'll be glory for me. Let me lead you in prayer, and then I'm going to read another two or three verses to you, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, bless the word that's gone forth this morning. We thank You for the gospel of Your saving grace. Grace for the sinful. Mercy for the defiled. Lord, make all of us to be mercy beggars. We don't deserve anything from You. Nothing good anyhow. But we ask You through the person and work of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, be merciful to us and save us by Your grace. We give thanks for all the sweet memories of our sister in the Lord, Evelyn. And we rejoice in Your good purpose in taking her home to glory. Lord, fill the void. Give a strong consolation to all of the family members and to her church family. Remind us of her joy right now being in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Bless all of these family members. Lord, give comfort and consolation as only You can give. These things I ask in the name of the Savior and for His sake. Amen. I began the service by reading you, Evelyn, one of her favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. That I will read another portion that was very dear to her heart. It's out of the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 6. the Lord told Moses, he said, "You speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine unto thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Here's three times it talks about the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That's God the Father, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. We see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father blesses us, the Son blesses us, and then the Spirit of God. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. And only the Spirit of God can give us peace. Peace that passes understanding. May the Lord bless. We ask him to do that. Amen.